If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. We're going to read responsively here, verses 1 through 9. I'll read by myself on the odd verses because of my state of being. And I will let you all read on the even verses because you're such wonderfully even people. And we will read together through these verses. Philippians chapter 4, I'll begin in verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And are those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Here we are in Philippians chapter 4, and what a blessing to be able to study this subject of prayer. I hope that over these last month and a half or so, I wanted to say 2 months, but February's not quite over yet. Over this last month and a half, we've been studying about prayer, and I hope that you have settled in your heart and in your daily practice the preparations for prayer. Okay, that was the first three messages in the month of January, just in case you didn't know. Okay, so we talked about the first part mentioned in verse 1, to stand fast in the Lord. If we're going to prepare ourselves for prayer, we must stand fast in Jesus Christ, our Savior. You understand that Jesus Christ must and needs to be our foundation daily. You get that? Daily, we need to choose to stand fast in Jesus Christ. That's a preparation of ourselves for prayer. Remember, prayer is a solemn address to the Supreme Being. And guess what? If I come on my own merit, I'm in trouble. But if I come in on the merit of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, hot dog, I'm doing good. Right? Yeah, that's how it needs to be. A preparation. The second preparation was in verse 4, to rejoice in the Lord. God is good. And all the time, yeah, that's right. So you understand that we have to understand that God is good. That's a definition of God. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, He is good. He is benevolent. He is righteous. He is holy. He is God Almighty. And guess what? Because of all His great attributes, which are, of course, perfect, who else are we going to rejoice in? Is there any other that provides for us anything? No. God is our provider. That's why that one of those names in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh, that's God the provider. Do you understand? He provides everything for us. Everything. You say, well, all I've got in my life is bad. Can I tell you something? God provides bad things for us too. You say, what? Did you know that some things are made to try our patience? Some things are made to bring the dross to the surface so it can be scraped off and we can be pure? Yeah. Did you know that that old pruning shears comes out from time to time and trims off branches? Ow! Ow! Oh, I don't like that. Oh, that hurts. Can I tell you something? It's for our benefit. Folks, God is good. We need to rejoice in the Lord. And Paul even says, Paul even says, I'm getting my tonight's message mixed up with today's. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's, of course, good and bad. And again, I say, rejoice. That's a preparation. When we can prepare our hearts to always rejoice in God, prayers are coming. That's how it works. And then, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Trust in the Lord. We studied Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know what? Truth be told, in the boat, on the Sea of Galilee, during a huge storm, Jesus was resting in His Father. You understand that? And the disciples should have all been curled up with Him, and the boat should have just been flopping around however it wanted to. That's trusting in God. That's trusting in the Lord. Folks, we have so much anxiety, we have so much fear, we have so much depression and discouragement in our lives because we're trying to handle everything and not letting God take care of it. Can I tell you something? He's capable. No, I'm sorry, that's not right. He's more than capable to handle anything that comes your way. We just have to say, here, God, you take care of this. I can't. Did you know it's okay to say that? Folks, when we're weak, who's made strong? He is. And that's how it's supposed to be. So we've talked about those preparations to stand fast in the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord, and to trust in the Lord. And then we actually defined and talked about what prayer is. Because in verse 6, he says, in everything by prayer. The general sense, the act of asking for a favor, particularly with earnestness. In worship, the solemn address to the supreme being, consisting of adoration, an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfection, confession of our sin, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude to God for His mercies and benefits. We're addressing God. We're talking to God. We're communing with God. And God says, look, I love you. You love me. You've chosen my Son as your Savior. You're part of my family. I'm your Heavenly Father. You're my child. He says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. That means no fear of being able to present ourselves before Him. He says, you're welcome here in my presence. He says, I want you here in my presence. And we're going to study this later on. I have to pace myself because I could preach all these messages at once, and I don't want to do that because not only would it take like 52 hours, but it would take a long time. But I'm going to mix all these thoughts together throughout the year, so you might hear some of these things many times. But in the model prayer in Matthew, he says, when ye pray. Not if. No, God's expecting us there in His throne room. He says, you may boldly come. He says, you don't have to come with fear and trembling. You just need to come to my presence. I want you here. I want to welcome you here. I'm your Father. You're my child. You belong here in my presence. It does not say that we can brashly come into His presence, throwing our weight around. What's up, God? How you doing? Okay? No. He's God. No, we are what we are, and He is what He is. Oh, you see, but I'm a joint heir with Christ. Everything that Christ has is mine. And so, you know, No, that doesn't give you cause to be casual with God. He is the supreme being, and prayer is a solemn address. It's our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know what that means? We're going to talk about it. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're addressing God, but we get to address God. He wants us to address Him. We talked about prayer. We talked about supplication. And I hope that word entreaty resonates in your heart. It's an urgency, an earnestness, a pressing matter. In other words, I've got to have this. That's what supplication is. Supplication is mentioned 39 times in our scriptures, and it's mentioned 15 times together with prayer. Supplication reveals our heart to God. What we really care about. What we really desire. What we really want. Because guess what, folks? There are some pressing needs out there. I know many of you have some very pressing matters in your life. Things that need to be heard from God now. Where do we turn to? When we're in our darkest moments, I hope you turn to God. I'm going to tell you we should turn to God on a daily basis just because. Pressing things or no pressing things. That's prayer. That's a solemn address to our God. But sometimes that prayer is coupled with supplication. And we need to in everything by prayer and supplication. And then last week we talked about in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Because God is good, because we are rendering thanks for good received. And can I tell you something? God has rendered to us good. You say, how is that, Pastor? Everybody do this. Everybody do the sucking air test. That's why. That's why. You say, oh, that's not enough. yes, it is. That's more than enough. God is good, folks. Even in our darkest moments, God is good. Even in our hardest times, God is good. Even when the boat is sinking, Master, carest thou not that we perish? God is good. And guess what? We must render thanks because good has been received. How many of you have taught your children? You say, please, and thank you. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Thanksgiving and gratitude is almost a lost art today. How often does something take place and the person receiving it doesn't even say a word? Right? That's becoming more and more prevalent in our society today. Actually, usually if some good is received, they stick out their other hand because they want more. What you gave to them isn't good enough. So why would they say thank you? Right? Because it wasn't good enough. Oh, you could have given me more. I hope you don't feel that way toward God. God is good. And we should render thanks for good received. And then let's look at back at our text verse again, verse 6. That introduction went fantastically. You guys are great listeners. I appreciate that. I better check my watch is right. Okay, good. Now, look what it says. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, read it with me there. Your requests Can I tell you something? Our requests are important to God. The Bible even talks about how God already knows what we have need of, but He still wants us to ask Him. He still wants us to communicate. He still wants us to come boldly before His throne. We're in worship and adoration and with thanksgiving and oftentimes with supplication that there's an urgency in my life and there's a need in my life and God, I'm addressing You. But He wants us there. And God is sitting there and He knows what we need. He knows exactly what's on our hearts. And folks, listen to me. He knows exactly what you're going to say. Even before you say it. But He still wants us to tell Him. He still wants us to request. He still wants us to ask. He still wants us to petition. So request is simply the expression of a desire to some person for something to be granted or done. It's an asking. It's a petition. It's a prayer. It's an expression of desire to the superior, almighty God. Our request, the Latin of this word is requestus or requiro, re-inquiro. I'm probably not saying that right, but that's what I said. To seek. Remember David talks about seeking God's face? How we're supposed to seek God, and we're going to talk about that in just a few moments here in some of the scriptures. But we are going to Him with a purpose, and it's our purpose. They're our requests. So today I want to talk to you about your requests. Because, you know, we ask our children, we don't say it this way, but for sake of the message today and the title of your requests, I hope that you can understand it. When it's our children's birthday, February is a busy month for us. We've already had two birthdays and we have another one coming up next Saturday in our household. February is a heavy birthday month. So we have these birthdays and we ask our children what they want for their birthday, right? In two fashions. One being presents, you know, things that they may desire or want, right? The other is meals. We do a meal thing on birthdays, okay? They get the full gamut. They get breakfast, lunch, and supper. Sometimes Mrs. Combs will even be so benevolent to throw in a snack here or there. She's just nice like that. And I would just eat their snack for them. And because most likely it's my favorite too. I'm a snacky guy, so you know that. So we ask them because we want them to be able to share with us their requests. We want to know them. We want to know what they want, what they desire, what things they like, what things that they wish to have. You know, we as parents want to know that of our children. Example, hello, are you following the illustration? Our Heavenly Father wants to know what we want, what we desire, what we long for, what things we, the Bible and the model prayer tells us to ask for our daily bread. I don't think it's a sin to say, God, can I have steak and eggs for breakfast? Nobody's with me on that? Just a few. Okay, thank you, Brother Minter. I mean, wow. You know, maybe with a side of bacon and extra well-done hash browns and, you know. Yeah. I hate soggy hash browns. It's kind of in the realm of soggy bacon. I'm waving at Brother Camp. Him and his sloppy bacon. But, you know, is that wrong to share that with God? You say, oh, bread and water is good enough. That's all we should ask for. Why? God loves us. And we all have different tastes, right? I mean, your daily bread might... I mean, sure, food is food. We can survive on a lot less than we do. Yeah, lots less. But is that wrong? No, it's not wrong. Why don't you communicate with God? You say, oh, I shouldn't ask God that. Why not? I mean, if you want lasagna for lunch, just ask God to drop a lasagna in your lap. I mean, well, not when it's hot. That would burn. You know the expression. You know how much I love to play on words. I like puns. But why? Is there something wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. You say, oh, you should be happy with the ramen noodles and hot dogs. Well, I like you. You like ramen noodles and hot dogs. Where's Nathan? Come on, Nathan. God could. We have a nicer home, clothing, whatever the case may be. I mean, our requests. Paul says in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so I'm just trying to get us to focus on our requests. And listen, motive is what's critical in this thing of requests. We just got done studying the book of James, right, everybody? And we talked about what James said to the brethren as he is dealing with them. James says this, and here it is, from whence come wars and fightings among you? They come not hence even of your lust that war in your members. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So you see, our requests come with a condition. And that condition is our motive. Why are we requesting this from God? What is the motive? What is our heart's desire? We're going to talk about some of these things today as we think about our requests. In Job chapter 6, Job is in the midst of his distress. He has stayed true to God. His friends have come and began to blame him for what is happening in his life. He makes this rebuttal in Job chapter 6 in verses 1 through 10. Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. Exclamation point. We're going to do that one of these days. We have an exclamation point study. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass? Or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. Do you see the attitude and the emotion that Job has in his prayer? And he's begging God, God, would you grant my request? Now, in this particular sense, why didn't God grant Job's request? Because that's not what God wanted for him. Was Job's request good or bad? This particular one. Oh, it's how he felt, right? He was at the end of his rope, if you will. And he said, look, it may be better if God just take me out. This is hard to bear. You understand, folks, our requests aren't always the right requests. But it is how Job felt. Now, we do know how God delivered Job in the end of the book. We do know that he had to go through much for God's glory. And guess what? Job did make it through. And God did deal with him according to God's purpose. And guess what? That's the best way. That's the best way. Over in Psalm 21, David has a request. He says this, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire." So, did Job have a desire of his heart? In chapter 6, just after these things had happened, and just after his friends got there and kind of sat with him for a while and then started digging in on him, you understand, Job was full. And many times David was full of emotion, full of distress, full of difficulty. But here, this one is more positive. It says this, "Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance, for the king trusteth in the Lord. And through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved." You understand that we have two different examples here. There was one request made in distress, and one request that was made in rejoicing. You understand that our requests matter to God. Did you know that Job's request was heard by God and God said, "Nope, not yet"? David's request was heard by God and David said, "Yeah," or God said, "Yes, David, you can have all these things." You see, but Job was a good man. Yes, he was. But what was his request? And how was his request made? If you will, in what condition was his request made? David's request, what was his condition when he made his request? Psalm 106. "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea." Listen to this. "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake." You understand that when they're standing there at the Red Sea, there was this rejoicing that God had heard their cry in Egypt and sent the deliverer. But think back when they were in the thick of things, when Moses first came, they weren't happy that God sent the deliverer because it made their life harder. But when they finally, after the 10 plagues, they were finally released, there was a rejoicing and a party, if you will, as they went out from Egypt and they're traveling across and they get to the Red Sea. And even when they got to the Red Sea, everything was great. And then they look back. Is that a sandstorm? No, it's not. That happens to be chariots. Hey, Moses! All of a sudden they turn on God. "We should have stayed in Egypt. You brought us out here to die." Wow. They turned quick, didn't they? Whew. Why didn't God just say, "Okay"? No, he put the pillar of fire there, stayed off the chariots until they could pass over on dry ground. I'm going to continue here in Psalm 106. "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through in the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. These are bad people. Hands down, right? Who wants to argue with me? Good people, bad people. Bad people. Listen to the next statement in Psalm 106. And he gave them their request. What? Oh! Are you kidding me, God? Job makes a request out of emotion and you say no. David makes a request out of gratitude and thankfulness and you say yes. Good people. Job, good people. David, good people most of the time. Some bad decisions. Children of Israel. Oh, fickle, 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 fickle. Roller coaster people. Highs and lows. I mean, just all over the place. No stability. And one could really question their true love for God. I mean, really, right? I mean, he chose them. Understand? Yeah, at times they chose him. At times. God granted their request. Are you, what? Why? By the way, the answer is given earlier, for his name's sake. All things work together to good for them, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But I like what David says in the caveat here. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request. If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. You say, well, that sounds like a good prayer. Paul wants to come to them to help them with their spiritual growth. And certainly God will grant that request. Well, eventually he did. But Paul had to go through an awful lot to get to Rome, if you'll remember. He goes on to say this, for I long to see you, that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God, this key, to come unto you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but I was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also. Even as among other Gentiles, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. You understand that to Paul, God said, just a minute. Right? Paul made his request and God said, not quite yet. He told Job no. He told David yes. He told the people of Israel yes, with some leanness within themselves, in their soul. He told Paul, hang on. So do you see how God listens, knows, and cares about your requests? And he knows the motive of your heart. Philippians 1, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, until the day of Jesus Christ. He says, even as it is meet for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch both in my bonds and in my defense, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. That was Paul's request. That's a good request. And guess what? God was answering that request and said, Paul, yes, I'm going to do this work in these dear people. Remember Hannah's request? She was so sorrowful that her lips were moving, but nothing was coming out. And Eli thought that she was drunk. She said, I have not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. She said, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And what happened? He did. And what did she do? She brought him back and gave him back to the Lord. Who was that? Samuel. Psalm 20. David said, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee. Out of Zion, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Folks, what is it according to? Just like Jesus prayed, Father, not my will, but thine be done. So as we consider our requests, we must consider the heart. The heart of the matter is our heart. Our motives. Our desires. And listen. See, now the introduction went so well. But now this is not going so well. Okay, I got to stop. Do you understand in Matthew 7, it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And you say, yeah, that's all talking about, I get whatever I want. Oh, the Bible says that, hey, when two or three are gathered, we have whatever we want. So let's all get together and ask for a couple $1 million and we'll get what we want. No, it's not how it works. It's according to the will of God. It's according to our heart. Is our heart after God or is it after the world? 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Okay, full circle. We're going to connect all the dots. Preparation for prayer. Stand fast in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. When we bring our solemn address to the Almighty Supreme Being, God, and we come in with supplication, and we come in with thanksgiving, and we come in with joy and peace in our hearts, we're righteous and holy in the sight of God through Jesus Christ. Our heart, our will, our mind are lined up with his. See, that's what it is. And that's when our requests are heard. because they're not ours. They're His, but they're ours. And they're heard. When we ask in the flesh to lust after the flesh, He's not going to hear us. Because we regard iniquity in our hearts. But when we have the mind of Christ, and we have the heart of Christ, and we have the joy of Christ, and we're standing before God, and we can say just as much as Christ could say, with the sweat drops of blood dropping from His head to the ground, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Prayer's heard. Because they're all in line. So really, if you want to think of it this way, and again, I am not for changing Scripture. I've never will change Scripture. I just want to help you to think of it this way. Paul says, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let God's request known unto God. Because when our requests line up with Him and His purpose and His desires, when our desires are His desires, when our thoughts are His thoughts, when what we want is what He wants, that's when we're heard. Do you understand that God's not going to give us something that He doesn't want us to have? Why? Because He's God. He gets to decide those things. He's in control. You and I have a delusion of control. But He's the one calling all the shots. He's the one that gets to decide everything. He's the one that has everything already figured out, because He's standing outside of time, knowing everything that's going on, and has known and does know, and He's never been surprised. I've told you before, nothing has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? And when we line up with Him, our requests are His requests. Our desires are His desires. Our thoughts are His thoughts. And we're one. We're in fellowship with Him. And there's no darkness in us at all. Just like it says in 1 John chapter 1. God wants us to have that kind of relationship. In Psalm 37, and we'll close today, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That's it, folks. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.